south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, this COVIDiot pandemic stuff has prompted some interesting emails lately, like, for example, this one from Mr. K, who, when he writes, always has interesting things to say. He says, "Hi, Johnny. Hope you're doing well, and I've been enjoying your show, like always. Today, I was looking through your podcast archives for a certain episode and remained unsuccessful. Turns out Podbean search features don't work well at all. All right, to comment on that bit, I have to agree with you. Podbean seems to be a very good place to get all the 1,000-plus Expat File shows. They're there, all right. And all the descriptions written up for them. Though I have to admit, with all the digressions in each show, I hardly hit on all the topics when I write up those descriptions. Because, you know, I don't write up the descriptions till after I've done the show. And I don't take notes on what I'm rambling about, so I have to sort of piece together what I was talking about somehow, and I only get to 3 or 4 topics when I write up the descriptions. Though, during a particular show, I might hit on 10 or 20. So, again, Podbean, good for getting all the episodes, bad for trying to look back in time for topics you might be particularly interested in. And, man, I'll tell you, over the years, I've had plenty of people offering to organize my shows for me, you know, create some kind of efficient search function for topics. But none have been completely successful. It's turned into an impossible dream, you know, and way too time-consuming. So it looks like if you're going back into the archives looking for a certain particular thing, you're on your own. Worse yet, I get lots of emails from people saying, "Johnny, in a past show, you were talking about plumbing or hooking up propane, gas, or motorcycles in a past show. Can you tell me which show number and the time sequence where I can find that stuff?" Man, that's the wrong question to ask me, because once I'm done doing a show, it's out of sight, out of mind, and I never listen to them again. Well, almost never. In fact, on the rare occasion that I'm forced to go back and listen to one of my shows for whatever reason, like, for example, people send me emails saying, "Johnny, on your last show or third to the last show, there were some dropouts or dead spaces." Of course, that's very rare, but has happened, so I'll check it out. Anyway, on the rare occasion I do go back and listen, sometimes it's a surprise to me to hear what I'm talking about. Oh well, I just hope I'm not repeating myself or my stories too much, though I'm sure listeners would let me know if that was happening. Or would you? But back to Mr. K's email. He says, "Johnny, there was a story that you once told about a guy who posed as a doctor to get through checkpoints quickly in Latin America. You also talked about a store that you could buy all that stuff, you know, stethoscope, doctor's uniform, etc. Do you know the date of that episode?" Well, Mr. K, I remember doing that episode, but I don't remember when it was. However, you can get a stethoscope, a doctor's bag, and a doctor's smock or uniform on Amazon. Best thing to do, though, if you're serious about it, you take that white or blue smock to a seamstress and have your name, Dr. K, embroidered on it, along with maybe the hospital of your new identity, too. And adding that little snaky serpent medical logo wouldn't hurt either. And you know, I don't think there's a single thing illegal about that, as long as you don't go into a hospital and actually try to practice as a doctor or see patients. But you're certain to get through lines and checkpoints in a hurry. And you'll get a lot of undeserved respect, too. But you have to hope no one has a heart attack while you're nearby, because then you'll be on a stage of sorts and you'll have to come up with an Academy Award performance. Then again, you might claim Montezuma's revenge and duck into the John. Again, I'm not necessarily recommending you do any of these things. I'm just rehashing what I spoke about in that episode a long time ago. Crazier yet, you longtime listeners might recall the story I once told about my childhood buddy. A lifelong trickster and scammer. You know, you can't pick your childhood friends, right? If there's a kid the same age living next door to you or a couple doors down, chances are he's going to end up being your friend, maybe a lifelong friend. Anyway, my childhood buddy, who turned out to be a notorious and sneaky scammer. Nickel and dime stuff, really, nothing serious. Anyway, he's always been lucky. For example, he fell into a great little scammy kind of profession, suits him well, by getting one of those online pastor/ministry certificates. And apparently some of those outfits are legal enough so that if you pay your dough and fill out the forms, you can actually perform wedding ceremonies legally, which he does. And he built up that business some years back when states first started to legalize same-sex marriages. And many of those couples wanted a real religious ceremony, and they wouldn't do that kind of stuff in a Catholic or Protestant church. So they'd call in guys like my buddy to do a quasi-religious ceremony in a park, garden, or resort setting. And man, I'll tell you, his appointment book filled in a hurry. There are lots of very wealthy same-sex couples out there who will pay big to have a guy officiate a religious ceremony at their wedding. After all, most same-sex marriage partners don't have kids. That means they've never had the giant expense of rearing kids and saving for college and all that. Whatever excess dough they have, they can spend on themselves. And they do. My buddy explained it all to me. In fact, a few years back when he came down to visit me in Guatemala, his phone was ringing all the time with inquiries from people wanting to arrange the details of a ceremony. In fact, he told me sometimes the deal includes all expense-paid trips to places like Hawaii, Bahamas, the Cayman Islands. Again, because lots of same-sex couples have real dough. And thus, when they get married, spare no expense. Anyway, this guy's got all the paraphernalia. You know, the clerical jackets, suits and collars, the right prayer book, shoes and cross. In fact, when he came down, he gave me a nice gift of a shirt with a clerical collar. Would be good for Halloween, but I don't think I'll ever use it otherwise. And he's really not authorized to use any of that stuff, but he uses it all the time. Technically, unless he's trying to scam people, there's no law against it. I'm telling you, the moment he got off the plane, when people here in Latin America got a glimpse of that collar, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. Talk about the gringo advantage giving you two more points. The clerical advantage gives you two more on top of that. After all, Latin Americans are extremely religious compared to people up in the States, Canada, or Europe. So anyway, of course I asked him where he got that stuff, and he led me to a website that sells all kinds of religious paraphernalia for all religious sects. But is it legal to wear that stuff? Well, I think the only way you could really get into trouble is if you actually started recruiting people under false pretenses and asking for money. But he's got the paperwork, as flimsy as it might be. Though technically that Catholic priest collar is stretching it quite a bit for him because he's no Catholic priest. And they've got that oh-so-noticeable and distinct collar. But hey, it certainly gets him to the front of the line. Though when he pulls that kind of stuff in front of me, I always wince, thinking someday someone's going to call his bluff. But like I said, you're kind of stuck for life with a certain kind of bond with your childhood buddies, no matter how irritating they might turn out to be as adults. Oh, and Mr. K, back to the impersonating a doctor thing. Besides Amazon, you can buy all kinds of medical supplies and uniforms and smocks for medical specialties, too, through this outfit called Henry Schein Medical Supplies. It's like the Amazon of the medical profession. If you check it out on the net, you'll find you could outfit an entire hospital if you're so inclined by just ordering from the Henry Schein catalog online. And even if you don't order a single thing, it's a very interesting read anyway. All right, now comes this email from an expat insider seminar attendee, Larry, a very cool, smart, and thoughtful guy. He says, "Hey, Johnny, my wife and I both got COVID in March of 2020. By the way, he's a 60-something Manhattan, New York City kind of guy. Anyway, he says he got COVID and it took pretty much 2 weeks to have it pass. Much longer than the regular flu stuff. But New York City itself looked far sicker, he says. It looked like the end of the world movie where the end has already happened. With no one in the streets. He says, I got off the plane at LaGuardia and the lights at all the baggage claims were off. There was one spotlight on one bag and it was mine. At the very end of the claim area. No one was there. He says, I walked outside and saw a few cops. New York City, a love of my life, had died. There she lay. It took some muscle to choke back the tears, he says. Within minutes, tears turned to anger, and I just wanted to choke to death whoever turned the world to shit. But buses were free, and the driver sat in front of 10 empty rows of seats behind his plastic shield. You'd have to enter and exit at the side door. Absolutely shocking. I was sick then and there. Some things are worse than COVID. At least with COVID, 2 weeks later, I was better. The phrase, comfortably numb, comes to mind. But I got back off the ground and dusted myself off. I'm getting ready for the next round. Signed, Larry. P.S. The ladies south of the border cannot be beat. As you say, Johnny, a 5 can get you a 9. Now, for all you listeners who might be thinking Larry's P.S. is a little cryptic, you see, Larry is married to a Venezuelan girl. She's the love of his life. And of course, when he says in that respect, a 5 can get you a 9, that's all part of that gringo advantage thing we talk about. When he talks about a 5, he's talking about guys like me, a solid 5. Or maybe I'm a soft 6. By Chicago standards, anyway. Well, when you go down to Latin America, suddenly, in the eyes of Latinas, you automatically get 2 or 3 extra points. for absolutely no reason except for the fact that you're a gringo. So much for equality and a level playing field, huh? I'm sure those weenie wokesters don't like that concept one bit. By the way, that also means if you're a 2 or a 3, you end up being a 5 or a 6. Of course, we're talking about gringo guys now. Gringas, gringo ladies. Once they hit Latin America, they truly are superstars. Though the double-edged sword there is, Latino guys are notorious womanizers. And they've got no shame about it. They'll admit it. They'll say they've got a gene for it. They actually believe it's genetic. Their uncles cheat, their fathers cheat, their brothers cheat. I know, it's wrong to say every single one of them cheats, but man, I'd say in all the time I've been down here in Latin America, I've only met 2 Latinos who I'm absolutely certain won't or didn't cheat on their wives, but they're both nerds. And being a quasi-nerdish engineer in a past life, I can honestly say that engineers, and most all nerds, are not prone to screwing around. In fact, most of them, when hooked up with a nice lady, feel lucky to have a woman at all. Of course, when nerdish guys start raking in the big bucks, all bets are off. Look at Elon Musk. He's been married a few times and has a few kids from different women. Funny how rich nerds who get a lot of media exposure become like rock stars. But without the dough and the media coverage, forget about it. And again, I repeat, the reason why Latinas down here in Latin America, I'm not talking about Latinas born and bred up in the States. They're virtually gringas. I'm talking about Latin American born and bred girls. They always give us gringos way too many points than we deserve. And it all boils down to the disappointments they've had with their own womanizing men. In fact, I don't think I've ever met a single Latina over 18 years old who hasn't been cheated on. I've heard that same story from every Latina I've dated. I've heard the same stories from all of their friends, too. And really, when you think about it, there are so few gringos and gringas except on the tourist trail. Everywhere else, we're rarities. Oh, and let's talk about love and romance on the tourist trail for a second. It's a place for flings and one-nighters, but not for long-standing relationships. Why? Because Latinas and Latinos know it's not a good deal to hook up with someone who's just coming in for a week or two. There's no future in it for them. And even with love and romance off the gringo tourist trail, a Latina girl or a Latino guy will try to qualify you right away. How long you down here for is one of the first questions that pops up. And if you say you're just visiting or you're in and out for a week or two, you're likely to get a gentle brush off. From the Latinas, that is. Of course, on the flip side, when a gringa meets a Latino and says she's only in town for a week or so, of course, he'll keep plugging away because he wants that quick affair. And of course, some Americans are into that. You know, there's that age-old cliche about vacation flings, right? But really, I can tell you most Latinas are looking for a strong, solid relationship. And for 99.9% of them, Latin men are the only option. They know what their men are like. But what options do they have when 99 out of 100 men are Latinos? Which is why when there's a loose gringo around and he's not just in town for a week or so, like Larry says in his email, a 5 will get you 9. And for you gringa ladies who are looking for your very own Antonio Banderas, you know, before he looked like he's an AIDS victim, man, did that guy deteriorate, huh? Anyway, for you ladies, a 3 will get you a 9. You've got practically twice the regular gringo male advantage. Though unfortunately, if you go that route, you're most likely going to get stuck with a guy who cheats on you. And if you can deal with that, and I don't know too many gringas who can, just be forewarned. Of course, on the other side of that, you might be thinking, well, the men are cheating with Latin women, so obviously Latinas are cheating too. Of course, there's always some of that, but to be completely fair about this, I've spoken to a number of Latinas who said they cheated on their man only because they caught him in the act they knew their own cheating would hurt him terribly. And as you've heard me say on this show many times before, they almost always end up going back to the guy, at least giving him 1 or 2 more chances. Worse than that, I know one very beautiful Latina who caught her longtime boyfriend, they've been going out 5 years, with a hidden second phone. She opened it up and found he was cheating on her with 7 different women. Of course, she was destroyed by it, threw him out and spent a couple of days crying. But a lady friend of hers told me, after a couple of weeks, she saw them together again. By the way, that beautiful Latina asked me if I could find her a gringo boyfriend. Hey, I get that all the time. You know the drill. Do you have any brothers, cousins, even old gringo friends with pacemakers who are still breathing? Now, if there's one thing I absolutely hate, is being a matchmaker. And Latinas, they love being matchmakers. And I think gringas are like that too. My sisters are. Must be a universal female thing. But believe me, I know matchmaking is too hit and miss, too testy. I don't want that responsibility, though, with this very same, very beautiful Latina lady. Because I knew she'd be a great catch. She's a really good girl, and I did get pressured into at least doing the introductions to a very cool gringo expat seminar multiple attendee who was going through a bad divorce himself. But the hookup never materialized because he keeps yo-yoing back and forth with his wife. Mr. K, you know who you are. You chickened out on me. And in a way, I was relieved. Again, because matchmaking's not my thing. Oh, and I'll let you in on a not-so-secret secret. At my Expat Insider seminars, I'd say about a quarter of the people there are single men. Almost all of them divorced with kids in college or grown-up kids. And most of them do drop hints that they're looking for a nice, stable relationship with a Latina. And man, all the while I'm thinking, I know so many nice, beautiful Latinas that would love to have a gringo boyfriend. But I don't want to be a matchmaker. And really, the only time I ever stuck my neck out was, well, with the one I just mentioned. Oh, and for my brother. And you know, it's a funny thing. I've spoken to lots of Latinas who have gringo husbands or boyfriends. Down here in Latin America, of course, not up in the States. When it happens down here, every last Latina tells me the same story. They just love being in a gringo relationship. They say it's infinitely better than being in a relationship with even a really handsome Latino you can't trust. Though I have to mention, almost all Latinas who have gringo boyfriends say they had a little difficulty adjusting at first. They've told me, we're way too picky, we criticize a lot, and we're not too emotive, and we're complainers. Now, they never mention how bad we dance. That's a given. Of course, they're comparing gringo males to their Latino male counterparts, who are much more easygoing. But get this, after they have a gringo boyfriend, they little by little start seeing their world through the eyes of their gringo mate. They soon realize their gringo boyfriend's a great provider and doesn't BS much. Well, not too much. And this is a biggie. We don't slap around, beat, or berate our women. Though there is one singular complaint I hear over and over again. Gringo boyfriends almost never fly into jealous rages. And that's a bad thing? Well, for them, because for Latinas, it's often equated with love. So if you don't have a jealous rage once in a while, they don't think you love them. And they'll tell you so. Because, man, they're experts themselves at throwing a jealous tantrum. They expect it because their guys are always doing it. And when you don't, because for us gringos, it's generally not our style. There will be some weepy moments when you have to explain all that to them. Question is, you gringos who are looking for that kind of relationship, are you ready for that kind of drama? Well, most gringos who've been through it will tell you it's, in the long run, absolutely worth it. But there will be lots and lots of cultural misunderstandings at first. The point being, though, Latinas with gringo boyfriends will tell you they'll never go out with a Latino again. I hear that all the time. Oh, and by the way, about this matchmaking stuff, I tell you that would be a hell of a money-making gringo business plan. A gringo-owned and operated matchmaking service? Live and in person, down here? I know, there are plenty of services like that online, but most of them are just crap. How can you trust them? I just know there's a huge pent-up demand within the Latina community for real live gringos, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Except that the biggest problem is most gringos don't know enough Spanish to order at Taco Bell. And the Latinas that want to get into that game, the Latinas that really count, the ones with a heart of gold, don't speak any English. And that's another dirty little secret. It seems the more English a Latina knows, the more she's been jaded by social media and those terribly mind-numbing shows like the Retard Asians. Of course, that's not a cut-and-dried rule. That is, the more English they know, the more jaded they are. But somehow it seems to turn out that way. Oh, and guys, another precautionary tip-off is if you're Latina, has made a trip or two or 10 to the U.S. I mean, legally, of course. That for sure means she's from an upper middle class or wealthy family, and that she went to helicopter schools herself. So look out, you just might be dealing with an entitled child of the rich. And that entails a completely different set of problems. Sometimes insurmountable problems. Oh, and here's another observation. I've done many seminars now, and there are always single lady attendees. Yet I've never had a single one of them pull me aside and mention that finding a Latino boyfriend or soulmate was on their bucket list. Go figure, huh? But believe me, it doesn't take long for a single gringa lady to find a Latino guy of her dreams. Only it never seems to turn out well when she discovers his cheating or lying ways. And one of the biggest lies they tell, and I've heard this over and over again, is that he's single or unattached or divorced. Gringas aren't stupid. Eventually they find out the truth. Often he's got a wife and family on the other side of town, or even two. Or a couple of kids from a couple of different women. Man, you can't believe how common that is. Talk about a red flag, huh? No wonder these guys conveniently forget to bring it up. Now, I don't want to give the impression that the whole Latin male demographic lie and cheat. But if I had a daughter, and I don't have a daughter, well, you know where I'm going with this. Now, of course, I'm not talking about Latino men that have been born and raised middle class or upper middle class in the States. They're totally gringoized. But you know, the poor and the lower middle class Latinos up in the States, that covers most of the illegals, of course, they carry those extremely macho traits with them when they arrive. Now, if there's any whiny, spineless, woke people out there listening to this broadcast, you can call me a racist, call me a bigot, Call me a dickhead. Call me anything you want. Fact is, I've been down here 30 plus years now. And if you want me to sugarcoat things, well, that ain't going to happen. Of course, that means that someday you'll tune into the Expat Files and there will be no Expat Files because I've been canceled. But hey, there's so little real truth out there. Somebody's got to take a stand, huh? All right, switching gears, here's something that kind of bothers me. You know, there's always lots of construction going on in Latin America. These are developing economies, so they're building and building. And years ago, when I'd go into a big building supply or hardware store, it was filled with nothing but locally made raw materials. PVC pipes from Costa Rica, rebar from Honduras, sacks of Portland cement from Guatemala and Mexico, floor tiles from Colombia and Brazil. But now when you go into a building supply store, you'll find all kinds of crazy brands coming from, you don't even have to guess, China. It was never like that 30 years ago, even 10 or 15 years ago. In fact, the Chinese have invaded so many markets that, according to a Panama commercial construction website, during the first quarter of 2021, 36% of all the cement in Latin America was imported from China. And you gotta wonder, how can they possibly undercut the local guys when it's gotta be driven to port, loaded on a ship, take a 6,000-mile voyage, get unloaded, pay duty, get retrucked to whatever destination in Latin America? How is that possible? And the bigger question is it any good? Are the ingredients correct? Will it stand the test of time? We're talking about cement used to make concrete now. The same's true for the rebar and steel business. A third or more of that's coming from China, too. I just don't get it. They've got to be skimping on something because wages here in Latin America are very low. In factories and processing plants, from $300 to $400 a month. So to make it worthwhile, either the Chinese making that stuff have to be using slave labor or be heavily subsidized by the government or using substandard materials. Could be all of the above. Because think about it, to ship cement and steel 10,000 miles, just that cost you'd think would be absolutely prohibitive. Anyway, I don't get it. And now some very recent news for the LGBT WTF crowd. People ask me questions about the permissibility and the legality of same-sex marriages, etc. As far as the 20 Latin American countries are concerned. Turns out, same-sex marriage is legal in 6 Latin countries. Ecuador, Costa Rica, Colombia, Brazil, and Argentina, with currently 22 out of Mexico's 32 states allowing same-sex marriage. Oh, and did you know that in certain neighboring Caribbean countries, homosexuality is actually illegal, on the books as illegal? Like, for example, in Antigua and Barbuda. By the way, lots of people confuse the island of Antigua with the city of Antigua, Guatemala. Big difference, huge difference. They're pronounced almost the same, but they've got a slightly different spelling. All right, continuing with this list of Caribbean countries where homosexuality is illegal. We've got Barbados, St. Kitts and Nevis, the island of Dominica, Grenada, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines. Of course, most of those countries don't enforce that, but it's on the book, says illegal. Oh, by the way, there's only one Latin American country, one I've never been to, where homosexuality is still illegal. That's Guyana in South America. In fact, this'll kill you. In Guyana, cross-dressing was illegal till November 2018. In fact, this is how the legislation reads right now. It's called Section 352. Any male person who, in public or private, commits or is a party to the commission or procures or attempts to procure the commission of any male person, any act of gross indecency with any other male person shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and liable to imprisonment of 2 years. Then there's Section 353. Anyone who attempts to commit buggery or assaults any person with intent to commit buggery shall be guilty of a felony and liable to imprisonment for 10 years. Section 354, everyone who commits buggery shall be guilty of a felony, liable to imprisonment for life. However, and there's a footnote here, it says, the law does not specifically define buggery, as these terms remain defined by common law, specifically in the colonial era English common law, which Guyana inherited most of its laws from. All right, that said, although laws regarding the illegality of homosexuality in Guyana are not known to have been enforced in recent years, there is heavy discrimination against LGBT WTF persons, and it's widespread in Guyana due to the heavy influence of Christianity and biblical law. By the way, a poll was taken by the Caribbean Development Research Services Company, whose result found that about 24%, one quarter of Guyan respondents, saying that they hate homosexuals, while 38% were tolerant and 25% were accepting, with the study concluding evangelical Christians were the most opposed to homosexuality, with non-evangelical Christians the most accepting, with slightly more than half, 53% of Guyanese people supporting the criminalization of homosexual acts. So there you have it, just in case you wanted to know. There's only one country in all of Latin America still living in the Dark Ages, Guyana. All right, and finally, here's something worthy of mention. Now, you know, I've never recommended Brazil as the ideal place for gringos and expats to live, work, play, retire, and or do business. Of course, there are lots of little upscale islands of prosperity throughout Brazil. The country itself is just a chaotic, bureaucratic nightmare, which is probably why just 2 days ago, Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro told his supporters that everyone, this is a quote now, everyone should buy a rifle, which on the surface sounds great for everyone who believes owning a gun is a person's right. Hey, I'm all for it. Now, of course, Brazil's president didn't come out on national TV and say that. Turns out Latin American Telesur reporter Nacho Lemus happened to be at that get-together where he recorded the video of the president telling supporters that, quote, in a country with more than half the population under food insecurity and in the midst of a new crisis in the price of food, gasoline, and electricity, now, he said, is a time to buy a gun. Meanwhile, the Brazilian real has lost fully half of its value in the past decade, with Brazil's decline accelerating. By the way, Bolsonaro, when he got elected, promised his supporters he would ease gun control laws, and that's exactly what he's done since about 2019. As of now, civilians are allowed to keep up to 4 guns at home or in the workplace, and they have access to high-caliber guns that used to be restricted only to the military or police. And now they can finally purchase much more ammunition than they were able to before, and he's eliminated the import tax on firearms. All the while, you know, one of the biggest small arms manufacturers in the world is called Taurus, T-A-U-R-U-S, founded in 1941, located in Brazil. You know, it seems to me it's pretty oxymoronic for a country to have super strict gun laws. Meanwhile, one of their biggest exports happens to be firearms. So the question is the president of Brazil telegraphing more chaos and crisis? But really, the whole world's in crisis, right? At least Brazilians will be able to defend themselves once again. So what do you think about that? By the way, if you're wondering if Taurus guns are any good, well, not so much. They have trouble with many recalls. In fact, in 2015, they were hit with a $39 million lawsuit and had to recall 1 million handguns for safety defects. But they're damn cheap, which once again proves you get what you pay for, including this show.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.